We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
People, look alive. It's showtime.
Now live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, it's Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.
So shut up and listen.
Doors open in 3, 2, 1.
Hour number 3 of Chuck and Winkler begins now. Ryan Horvath in for the boys. They'll be back with us on Monday. Coming up at 8:20, we're going to talk with Ryan Wood, PackersNews.com, as well as the Green Bay Press Gazette, as the Packers get set to take on the 2-9 Giants this Sunday at noon. But right now, we're going to talk some Badgers football, maybe even a little Badgers basketball, since Chuck and Bart are off. Those guys are Debbie Downers when it comes to Badgers hoops. We welcome in Benjamin Wargle on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, BadgersInsider.com. Ben, how was your Thanksgiving, man? Thanks for giving us some time today.
Oh, good morning. How was your Thanksgiving? Mine was well.
It was all right, man. It was all right, but you know how it goes. I mean, this is a busy, busy week, so sports never stops. And I'd say for the first time ever, I would argue that the Paul Bunyan axe will be the least meaningful thing at stake between Wisconsin and Minnesota. Wisconsin, 12th in the nation. Minnesota, 8th in the nation. I know you've seen both teams play. Is Minnesota a better football team than Wisconsin to you? I mean, on paper, obviously it says so. They do have the win over Penn State, but when you watch both of these teams play, how similar are they?
Yeah, they're pretty even, to be honest with you, and it's kind of hard to determine who is the better football team right now because their schedules have been so different.
Right.
I mean, Wisconsin has, I think, played a tougher non-conference schedule, not really that much tougher, but and Minnesota kind of snuck by the skin of their teeth, but certainly in Big Ten play, Minnesota has been a better football team. They have better wins, I think, in my opinion. Their losses aren't as bad. Their one loss, you know, losing on the road to Iowa by 4 in a game that Iowa really had to have. You know, I think you can kind of say that's a respectable loss to a degree. You know, I think over the last 5 games, Minnesota has been the better football team, and that's the more important thing to look at. I mean, Minnesota has, you know, that signature win against Penn State that really caught everyone's attention. You know, they've blown out 2 bad teams in Maryland and Rutgers. You know, you win at Northwestern last weekend. Wisconsin kind of has been spinning its wheels a little bit the last 5 games. You know, you certainly had the back-to-back losses against Illinois and Ohio State. They looked that great against Iowa in the 4th quarter, and really defensively, the last 2 games, they have not been playing that well. And I think even offensively, last week, you know, you scored 45 points against Purdue, but you looked a little sloppy doing it. So, this is going to be an important game for Wisconsin. I think I even tweeted out last week after the game that Wisconsin has to play much better than they did against Purdue and Nebraska if they want to beat Minnesota tomorrow. And I still think that stands true because, I mean, they're 2 pretty even teams. So those little mistakes will add up in a game like this.
Do you worry at all about distractions for this Wisconsin football team? You know, as you mentioned, you got the 2 losses on the season, but you go on the road. ESPN's College Game Day is going to be there. I don't think that's a huge distraction, obviously, for Wisconsin since they're on the road. But also, I mean, the winner advances to face Ohio State in the Big Ten title game in Indy coming up on December 7th. You worry at all about this team maybe being a little distracted with it being Thanksgiving week as well?
No, I think this team's ticked off after what happened to them in Madison a year ago, where they were outplayed, outclassed in every facet of the way by Minnesota. That's just something that hasn't happened in Wisconsin during that long, you know, 10-plus year winning streak where they just were the team that everything that could go right for them did go right. When they didn't play well, they were able to make those plays to turn the games around. Minnesota would be always would be the one that would be, you know, blowing big leads and untimely turnovers and different things like that. And you know, Wisconsin deserved to lose last year to Minnesota. Minnesota was the better team that day. And I think that the memory of that game and the fact that trophy case that has been filled with the axe for the, you know, almost a decade and a half has sat empty for almost the last year. And I think that is a huge motivational factor for this team. And, you know, there's a lot on the line here. You know, the Big Ten West Championship, going to Indianapolis to play Ohio State, you know, potentially a Rose Bowl berth. I mean, there's a lot on the line in this game, but I think the most important thing for Wisconsin is that they want to beat Minnesota. They want to get back what they feel is their property, and they want to play better. They want to start playing better football than kind of what get back to the football that we saw at the beginning of the year, where they were just a juggernaut offensively, and defensively they were just really just shutting down teams. We haven't really seen that defense the last 5 weeks.
Talking with Benjamin Wargle here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. It's funny that when we think of Wisconsin and we think of Minnesota, you probably don't think of two high-scoring offenses, but Minnesota runs a lot of spread. They run a lot of run-pass option, and their quarterback, Tanner Morgan's been outstanding. He's almost thrown for 3,000 yards, 26 touchdown passes. Do you expect this to be a high-scoring game or kind of just a defensive battle? And what are the keys for the Badgers really to stop this Minnesota offense? Because they're putting up points.
Yeah, I think if this game's going to be anything, it's going to be more high-scoring than low-scoring. I mean, because you look at the numbers, I mean, both offenses score over 35 points per game. Both get over 430 yards of total offense. You know, Wisconsin runs the ball better than Minnesota. They're averaging 250 on the ground. Minnesota's like around 185, still respectable. Minnesota throws a lot more. They average over 245 through the air. But both teams have been giving up a lot of yards. Minnesota gives up over 300 yards per game. Wisconsin's kind of starting to eke up there at 268. So it's going to be one of those things where you look at what Minnesota's been able to do, and they've been able to spread teams out, and they've been able to attack in different ways. They have two really quality wide receivers. And this will be a test. This will be a test for Wisconsin secondary for guys like Fayon Hicks, and for Caesar Williams, and for Eric Burrell, and for Reggie Pearson. It's going to be important for that back-end group to make plays, keep guys in front, and just to get back to that swagger that they had early in the year. Too many big pass plays for Wisconsin here the last couple of weeks, too many missed tackles, things like that that can really hurt you on the road. It could really hurt you against this Minnesota team.
Offensively, Jonathan Taylor has had a huge year, but I feel like it's almost been like kind of a quiet huge year. I mean, he's got over almost 1,700 yards rushing and 18 touchdowns. It's been a record-setting career for him, but I just feel like he's not getting the same hype as some of the quarterbacks, obviously. And I mean, the two losses hurt his case, but, you know, Joe Burrow, we hear a lot about him, and the kid from Ohio State as well. What's going to be the offensive game plan this week against Minnesota? Just a heavy dose of Jonathan Taylor, try to keep that offense off the field, would you say?
Yeah, that's what I would do. I mean, don't reinvent the wheel here. And I do agree with you with Jonathan Taylor, but I think it's kind of that way because we've seen this before. We saw this as freshman year, and we saw it last year when he won the Doak Walker. You know, he has a great chance to win it again. But even he's probably not going to run for as many yards as he did his first 2 years. But he's just so consistent. He's just a really talented football player, you know, kind of a once-in-a-generation type football player. And these guys just don't come around all that often, and so you just have to kind of enjoy it while it lasts. And yeah, I think, you know, I'm fairly positive we're not going to see Jonathan Taylor in Wisconsin uniform next year unless he really, really wants to try to break Ron's record. So, I mean, he's got, you know, at least two games left, maybe three, and you know, you just want to utilize him. I mean, that's the strength of this team. Jack Cohn has done a nice job, in my opinion, this year leading the offense. You know, there's been some hiccups along the way. There's been some poor performances, you know, certainly the Ohio State game, but with a performance all around. But, you know, he's 15 touchdowns to 4 picks is a great ratio for Jack. I think he's been very calm under pressure to a degree. He hasn't made many forced throws that have led to bad plays, which is something we've seen in past years from him and from other quarterbacks. So there has to be a balance with Wisconsin. It can't just be Jonathan Taylor all the time. Wisconsin needs to stretch the field a little bit. I think that's part of the thing that has been lacking this year with Wisconsin. They really haven't thrown a lot of deep passes, even a lot of intermediate passes. You just can't let a defense sit on Jonathan Taylor in the short passing game. So I think Wisconsin needs to stretch the field a little bit more, get those really talented wide receivers they have involved. That's good. That's what's going to make this offense work, because when you can start throwing the ball to all three levels, that's really going to open up the defense to prevent them from sitting in the box, and that's good news for Jonathan Taylor.
If you had to make a prediction for this game, what are you going with? Wisconsin-Minnesota coming up tomorrow, 2:30 p.m.
Man, just based on what we've seen recently, I think that this is a game that Minnesota is probably going to win. If nothing really changes with Wisconsin defensively, that scares me a little bit, because Minnesota has just been rolling this season with their point totals. They have a lot of momentum. They don't have the skeleton, the pink elephant in the room with them not winning the axe. They felt extremely confident in this game that they can win the axe, and it's going to be at home for them. It's going to be a great atmosphere with College Game Day. Going to be there for the first time ever. Doing something that Minnesota hasn't done before, which is win the West Division and go to Indianapolis in the Big Ten title game. Weather could be a factor, 38 degrees, and there could be some snow, rain, snow in the mix. So I think it's going to be a fun atmosphere, but I think Minnesota is going to feed off that. If I had a pick, I would say Minnesota is going to win the game.
Really quickly, I wanted to touch on Badgers basketball because the turnovers have been ridiculous. I mean, they lose games to Richmond. They lose a game to New Mexico over the week, 59-50. What are your thoughts on the early season for the Badgers and Greg Gard mainly?
Really inconsistent, certainly. You go from the highest of highs last week with your balance and your success against Marquette and Green Bay. You have six guys scoring in double figures. You have a lot of guys shooting the ball off in three-point range, to a tournament where you lose to back-to-back mid-majors and you average 51 points. Something has to change, and I don't necessarily believe that is the coaching staff at this point. I think this team needs to get tougher. I think that they were way too passive shooting the ball over the weekend. I think they need to find better looks. I think they need to get to the paint more. I think they need to be more physical in the paint. And they have to get to the free throw line more. This just cannot be a jump shooting team. And you just can't run the same old style of offense, too. You need to kind of jazz it up a little bit at times when things aren't working like they weren't this weekend. So, I mean, there's kind of blame to go around everywhere, from the coaching staff down to the last man on the bench. They have to play better, and they have to find ways to generate offense. And sometimes when your Wisconsin way isn't working, you need to find a different way to kind of catch teams off guard and to try to get some more energy going. I thought there was a real lack of energy, a real lack of toughness over the weekend. But, they're off until Wednesday where they're going to go to NC State and play in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. I think that this week there's going to be a lot of eyes looking in to try to figure out how we can, as a team, generate more offense, generate more chances. Because when the three-point shot isn't falling for this team, they really seem to struggle. And that's not going to work in Big Ten play.
Right. I already find myself like looking ahead to the future. Do you think if those recruiting classes, because 2021, 2022, I mean, those recruiting classes are top classes in the nation. Do you think if those classes aren't coming in that Gard keeps his job?
I don't, if Gard would have signed the worst class in the Big Ten going into next season, my gut says he would still get another year.
Okay.
Just because I have a hard time seeing it, unless the bottom really falls out this year, that Gard wouldn't get another year. But I think if they don't play well, and if they're really inconsistent and they don't make the tournament, I think Gard will enter next season squarely on the hot seat. And then after the 2020-2021 season, maybe we can have this conversation about whether or not he'll get fired. I still think he has at least this year and next year to kind of get things going in the right direction, because he did get a very, very talented recruiting class, best recruiting class Wisconsin's ever signed. They're gonna have a lot of these guys back next year. I know some people are gonna say, well, that's the perfect time to make a coaching change because the cupboard's full. I still think you have to give Gard a little bit more time. I know that's going to really rattle some people. But just from looking at an athletic department point of view, I don't think they make a move this season unless things really go south.
Ben, thanks a lot, man. Enjoy your weekend. Have a great holiday weekend.
All right, you too.
Thanks a lot. That was Benjamin Wargle. You could find his work at BadgersInsider.com. He joined us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Then look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common sense lending to your community since 1935. Badgers, Minnesota, number 8, taking on number 12, the battle for the axe. The axe is like the least, like that. I don't care about the axe at all for like the first time ever in this rivalry. This is to go to the Big Ten title game and to get walloped by Ohio State. Like, I don't even know if I'd want to win. I'm not going to say that. I don't want the Badger Nation coming after me, but I don't want to see Ohio State again. I really don't. I don't want to see Ohio State unless I'm Clemson, unless I'm Bama, maybe Georgia. I don't think anybody can hang with Ohio State. I think they're the best team in the country. That pass rush is ridiculous. Offensively, they could put up 48 points on you in the matter of 15 minutes. They're ridiculous. But go Badgers. Hopefully you get some revenge for last year, beat up on Minnesota a little bit. Ryan Wood from PackersNews.com joins us next. It's Chuck and Winkler here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Ryan Horvath filling in for the guys. They'll be back on Monday morning. Bill Michaels coming up today, 10 to 2. The Wendy's Big Show brings you home from 2 to 6 with Tim Allen filling in for Gary Sparky Leroy. He'll be alongside with Bill Schmid. You'll get a Tim and Tausch takeover today from 2 to 6, immediately following the Bill Michaels Show. Right now, we're going to go back out to the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. We're going to talk with Ryan Wood. You can find his work at PackersNews.com, as well as the Green Bay Press Gazette. An embarrassing loss to the San Francisco 49ers. Offensively, the Packers stunk. Defensively, the Packers stunk. Special teams, they stunk really, really bad. What area concerns you the most, Ryan, if you're a Packers fan?
Special teams are probably the worst of the three units. The punting has gone down the tubes. J.K. Scott talked yesterday about how before the Kansas City game, four games ago, he raised his drop, which punting is such a technical skill. I mean, it's so every piece of the process has to be in a specific order, a specific place. He raised his drop to try to maximize hang time, and in doing so, he really got out of whack. The last four games, he hasn't averaged more than 40 yards per punt in any of them. And the punt return is even worse. So, to me, the special teams is the worst of the three units. But when you talk about what can most impact their ability or maybe inability for a deep playoff run, I think the explosive plays defensively is the one thing that's really holding this team back in terms of this defense. If you erase the explosive plays, it's a pretty good defense. The yards it's given up, a lot of them have been chunk yard plays. If you take care of that, this is a defense that can create turnovers. It's a defense that can get after the quarterback quite regularly. So to me, that the explosive plays are probably the most impactful, and the special teams of the three areas has been the worst.
You know, when you look at the explosive plays, mainly on the crossing routes, and I mean the run defense has been atrocious, but the tight ends just continue to kill the Packers. Do you blame that more on coaching, on communication on the field? Like, how do they fix that, or how do they correct that? I know it's easier said than done.
Well, it's a lot of missed assignments. I mean, the George Kittle 61-yard touchdown was a missed assignment. Someone should have been helping out Kevin King in the deep middle there. And, you know, when that doesn't happen, everyone sees Kevin King as being the fall guy, and it wasn't his job to be covering that part of the field.
Right.
So, you know, it's a missed assignment, and that's the issue. You can't have those kind of missed assignments on the defense side of the ball, especially when it comes to, you know, the safeties. I mean, you're the last line of defense. When you're not there, there is no last line of defense. So, to me, they've got the players. It's just a matter of how they play, right? It's a matter of everyone doing their job at the same time in a cohesive way, which has been spotty. It comes and goes, and they need it to be more consistent.
Talking with Ryan Wood, you can find his work at PackersNews.com, the Green Bay Press Gazette. He's joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. I'm a big Darnell Savage fan, but since he's returned from the injury, have you noticed anything? His play looks like he continues to struggle. Is he still just banged up, or is the game just moving a little fast for him? What have you noticed from him in his rookie year?
It's probably your rookie growing pains. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an unforgiving position for a rookie to play. You go back to Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, the last safety that was kind of in Darnell Savage's shoes, and it was pretty similar for him. You know, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix had a big NFC Championship game his rookie year, had a couple picks. Before that, there weren't a lot of big plays. So the way that Darnell Savage Jr. came out of the gates was really impressive. But I think there was always bound to be some growing pains along the way, and I think that's what he's probably experiencing right now. And it's just a matter of how does he learn from, you know, like any rookie, how do you adjust and how do you handle that learning curve and how quickly do you get over that hump? And that's what he's working through right now.
Same thing for Rashawn Gary. Got a little playing time, got some snaps actually in the last game. What have you seen from him? Is he improving or is he just kind of trying to figure everything out there?
I think he's still trying to figure everything out. The adjustment for him was pretty massive from what he did in Michigan to what he's doing now with the Packers. Didn't stand up a lot at Michigan. Played kind of that six-tech defensive end. Here he's standing. He's an outside linebacker. I mean, that's what he's doing. So that was a big transition for him, big learning curve. He's still adjusting through that. The good thing for him is that he hasn't had to be a dominant force because he's playing behind two dominant forces in the Smiths. So those guys have really carried the load at that position and have done it quite well. And that's allowed the Packers to be patient with Rashawn Gary's development.
When we look at the offensive side of the ball, I know it's so easy for everybody just to say, get Aaron Jones involved in the offense. You got to get Aaron Jones involved in the passing game. But what I've noticed is he's got defensive backs starting to cover him rather than linebackers down the field. What do you think it's going to take for the offense to get back on track and get Aaron Jones his touches, especially in space?
Yeah, no, that's a great point that Aaron Rodgers made yesterday too, which he's seen different defenders really since that explosion against Kansas City, who put a linebacker on him basically wherever he went, and it was just a mismatch. That was on film, and teams reacted to that. They adjusted to it. They're not doing that anymore. I think creativity helps continuing to move from across the formation, which we haven't seen as much, it feels like, over the last couple games. You don't want to force him the ball, but get him into spots where it becomes easier to get him the ball. Because when he's got the ball in his hands, he's a dynamic playmaker. And it should be a main priority for him to get the ball 18 to 22 times a game. I mean, that's just got to happen for this offense. So, you know, it's just a matter of figuring out the best ways to do that and inserting that into the game plan and keeping in mind that he's going to be going against defensive backs now and not linebackers.
Taking a look at the injury report, what's the latest on Brian Bulaga? Obviously avoided the major knee injury with the ACL, but I saw a report that he might not even miss any time.
Well, I tend to think, you know, Matt LaFleur said that he wasn't ready to rule out Brian Bulaga yesterday. I tend to think that's more smokescreen than anything. I have a hard time seeing Brian Bulaga being able to play this week for a team that is going. The Packers are going to beat the Giants with or without Brian Bulaga.
Right,
they just are. And this is the team that, if when they do, they're going to be 9-3, and they're going to be still on that trajectory to the playoffs. You need Brian Bulaga to be healthy in January. You need him at his best in the more, you know, not more meaningful games, because if they lose, that's awfully meaningful, right? But the games where it's playing for a lot of implications, whether that's the Vikings week 16, whether that's the playoffs. So if he's anything below 100% this week, it's hard for me seeing him play. And it's hard for me to see him being 100% this week. So you don't count it out. Matt LaFleur didn't count it out. But it's still, I would be surprised to see him play.
With five games left and a couple of easy games on the schedule, where do you see this Packers record finishing out?
Well, it's very possible to go 12-4. They could go 13-3 if they're able to win at Minnesota, which is not out of the realm because they already beat the Vikings and for stretches of that game looked pretty good doing it at Lambeau Field week two. Now, I think that Vikings team is better than what they were week two. I think that having that game in Minnesota is also obviously a huge difference. But if you compare the Packers' remaining schedule to the other four teams in the conference with eight wins or more, there's no question the Packers' remaining schedule is by far the easiest. It's a big difference. They're the outlier, really. Each of the other four, they've got multiple tough games left on their schedule. So that's big. You know, Aaron Rodgers made the point yesterday. You win all your home games, you go 4-4 on the road, that should be the goal. And where they're at right now, they're 3-2 are on the road. They've won all their home games, have a chance to win all their home games, but only Washington and Chicago left. I think 12-4 is a very attainable mark.
Do you see that being good enough to get the number two seed or maybe even the number one if the Niners drop a couple of games?
I don't think they're going to catch the Niners at this point. They're effectively three games back with five to play. And the Niners' schedule down the stretch is absolutely brutal, starting this week with the Ravens at Baltimore. It's just three games back with five to play. I don't see that happening. And I think that I think the Saints are likely to finish ahead of the Packers as well. So I think a three seed is probably more likely for the Packers at this point, even if they go 12-4. But if the Saints do slip up, and hey, they lost to 1-7 Atlanta at home.
Right.
So that can happen. I mean, it weird stuff happens in this league. I certainly wouldn't eliminate the chance of them being getting a bye. But they definitely need some help at this point. They need to go 12-4. They need to finish out strong, and they need to get some help to finish with the top two seed.
Ryan, thanks a lot, man. That was Ryan Wood. He joined us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. A lot of good stuff in there. Ryan also not sold that we will see Brian Bulaga, although he did do some limited action in practice yesterday. He was out on the practice field, so it'll be interesting to see if we do get a full go from Brian Bulaga coming up this Sunday when the Packers take on the New York Giants. A lot of good stuff in there with Ryan also about what continues to plague this Packers defense, and that's crossing routes across the middle. What does that have to do with? Is it the coaching that's struggling? Communication? Guys not yelling out? A lot to digest there. Ryan joined us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Then look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to look around the schedule, around the other NFL games on the docket, as well as some college football games. We're also going to preview Packers-Giants. How are the Packers going to do this weekend? We're taking your phone calls, 414-799-1250, when Chuck and Winkler returns after this.
We go about it the same way. I think we all have the mindset whenever we're getting close to getting a sack or inside the pocket or he's running, scrambling, anybody's running with the ball, we're trying to punch it out and do those types of things. So I think this week doesn't change.
That right there, Packers linebacker, inside linebacker Blake Martinez talking about Giants quarterback Daniel Jones. Packers, Giants coming up this Sunday. The Packers 8-3 tied for first place in the NFC North with the Minnesota Vikings heading into this game, while the Giants sit at 2-9, just a brutal football team in a rebuilding year. The Giants beat up their practice report from yesterday. Tight end Evan Engram sat out with a foot injury. Backup tight end Rhett Ellison is in the concussion protocol. Jabril Peppers out with a back injury. Their safety, Golden Tate, also in the concussion protocol, their star wide receiver. So they're beat up right now. And Blake Martinez, we heard him talking there, is he is going to face off the Packers defense. We'll see a rookie quarterback for the next 2 weeks. Daniel Jones this week with Dwayne Haskins on tap next for the Washington Redskins. And Daniel Jones, he's been solid this year. You know, for a rookie quarterback, he's been pretty solid. Eli Manning got the start for the Giants. He was benched. The Eli Manning era came to an end, and then Daniel Jones took over behind center. And some crazy numbers with Daniel Jones is he's starting to figure things out. Because in his first start, the hype looked real, right? Daniel Jones had a great preseason for the New York Giants. I don't think he threw an interception. I mean, he was on fire. He looked like the real deal. And this after the Giants fans were so pissed off after he was drafted. Guys were burning their jerseys. Guys were upset. And they're ready to move on from Eli Manning. They just didn't want it to be Daniel Jones because nobody knew anything about this kid. He only played 1 year of college football. You start comparing it, especially when he played in the ACC at Duke. What comparison comes to your mind? Because I was thinking this is a Mitchell Trubisky situation with the Bears reaching, passing up on Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes to take a guy that only had 1 year of starting quarterback experience in college, in the ACC at North Carolina, that being Mitchell Trubisky. Same kind of situation with Daniel Jones. You know, a short sample size at Duke, didn't really know what he could do, had a great, great Senior Bowl, and all of a sudden the Giants, they fell in love with this kid. And he looks like the real deal in preseason when not a lot was expected. Then he comes in for Eli Manning, and he looked pretty good. I mean, he's thrown a touchdown in 9 straight games. This is a rookie quarterback that's thrown a touchdown in 9 straight games. We're seeing a lot of quarterbacks struggle, a lot of the second-year guys struggle. Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield have looked decent the last couple weeks leading their teams to victories, but I thought that they almost regressed from their rookie year. Mainly, Baker Mayfield set the rookie touchdown record, passing record, as a rookie. In his second year, he gets the yips. All he wants to do is roll to his right, never looks to his left. Looked awful. So quarterback plays down this year, especially with these younger quarterbacks. But Daniel Jones in his rookie year has been solid. I just mentioned the numbers right there. He's thrown a touchdown pass in 9 straight games. He has 17 touchdown passes this season. That leads all rookies. Daniel Jones, 17 touchdown passes. He's right there with Aaron Rodgers. He's thrown only one interception in his last 4 games. So if you're the Packers secondary and you're looking to gamble this week, if you're Jair Alexander and you finally want to get an interception and not drop another one, this might not be the week for him, Kevin King, Darnell Savage, Tremont Williams, and the boys, because Daniel Jones has only thrown one interception in his last 4 games. He's taken care of the football through the air. He's also thrown for 11 touchdowns in his last 4 games. That's an 11-to-1 ratio in his last 4 games for a rookie quarterback. You don't realize this because the Giants stink. They're 2-9. Nobody's paying any attention to him, really, outside of New York. But 11 touchdown passes to just one interception in his last 4 games. Daniel Jones is playing his best football as a rookie right now, and that's what concerns me heading into this game with the Packers. Stopping the tight end, stopping the crossing routes, and not letting a rookie quarterback beat you. I keep having these flashbacks, these nightmares of last year when Josh Rosen and the Arizona Cardinals came into Lambeau Field and ended the career of Mike McCarthy and upset the Green Bay Packers. Can't get beat by a rookie quarterback. Can't get beat by a rookie quarterback. However, Daniel Jones does have one big problem. He has a huge problem. And once again, here's Blake Martinez, inside linebacker for the Packers, on what they look to do.
We go about it the same way. I think we all have the mindset whenever we're getting close to getting a sack or inside the pocket or he's running, scrambling, anybody's running with the ball. We're trying to punch it out and do those types of things. So I think this week doesn't change.
The reason they'll be looking to punch that ball out is because Daniel Jones has lost 10 fumbles this season. 10 fumbles Daniel Jones has lost. So he's thrown a touchdown in 9 straight games. He has 17 touchdown passes, only one interception in his last 4 contests, while passing for 11 touchdowns, so an 11-to-1 ratio, but he continues to fumble the football. This is why when they do those combines and everybody laughs about hand size for quarterbacks, this is why they do take this stuff into account, though, but I think it's a little overrated as well. But Daniel Jones, a rookie quarterback, that's who the Packers defense is going to face this week. 414-799-1250. Once again, 414-799-1250. How are the Packers going to do this Sunday? What are the keys to the game on both sides of the ball, both defensively and offensively? Because the Packers special teams continues to be awful, and you need to step up on defense. You can't give up the big play. And if the Packers are going to give up the big plays, if they're going to give up the 25 yards down the field, they have to take the ball away. Like, that's the difference between a good and a great defense, is you have to take the ball away. You could also tweet in at the show at 105.7 FM, The Fan. The Rick Meister tweets in, says the Packers will go 2-3 the rest of the way. 2-3 the rest of the way. Well, the wins, I'm guessing, would be against the Giants and the Redskins. I don't know. The Bears matchup, especially after yesterday watching them against the Lions, like, that's a bad Lions team, right? They're beat to hell. Like, they got no running game whatsoever. Both of their backs out for the year. Matthew Stafford out for the year. I'm guessing he's got a broken bone in his back. I wouldn't expect them to bring him back. It would make absolutely no sense. But the Lions still do have some playmakers. Kenny Galladay is a stud. Thank God for him on my fantasy football team, or I'd be so screwed this year. He's a stud. Marvin Jones should be a stud. And then they got some weapons. You know, obviously the tight ends, they're decent. Defensively, they're kind of a mess, though. Darius Slay, even a little bit of a mess for the Lions. But that win yesterday for the Bears showed me that they're not giving up on the season yet. And you know damn well that they got this Packers matchup circled on their schedule. That's pretty much going to be their Super Bowl, especially if they're out of playoff contention, if they drop one here in the next week or two. That's one that we're going to have to look out for. I still see the Packers, at worst, losing only one more game this season. Minnesota scares me week 16. You know, the Bears game scares me. I think they keep it close, but because it's going to be played here at Lambeau, I think the Packers do find a way to get it done. Minnesota scares me week 16 just because historically you don't play really well in Minnesota. I think that defense is a little bit better than we give them credit for, although the secondary is not very good. But Kirk Cousins, keep bringing it up since apologizing to Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs is playing his best football. The reason that is because Delvin Cook is probably the most capable, the best back in the league. Like, we're going to see one of the best backs in the league this week in Saquon Barkley. We just saw arguably the best back in the league, I guess, 2 weeks ago in Christian McCaffrey, an MVP candidate. But Delvin Cook is the real deal, and the weapons there are the real deal. Adam Thielen's been beat up. He's missed some time, but Stephon Diggs continues to impress. And what we see with the Minnesota Vikings and Kevin Stefanski, the offensive coordinator over there, is he's now figured out what Kirk Cousins' strengths are and what Kirk Cousins' weaknesses are. Now, his weakness, obviously, is beating a good team on primetime football. Half joking right there. But Kirk Cousins just doesn't get the big wins. That's changed a little bit. Like, Kirk Cousins is winning some big games now. He's beating teams with winning records. I'm starting to grow a little concerned. I think Kirk Cousins is a little better than, I know Chuck and Bart, the host of the show, obviously, Chuck and Winkler, 6 to 10, Monday through Friday. They're not so high on Kirk Cousins. But with Kevin Stefanski calling these plays, like, he's found Kirk Cousins' strengths. And that's the play-action pass, especially with Delvin Cook. You can't stack the box against the Minnesota Vikings any longer and try to take Delvin Cook out of that game. And mainly, I mean, you could roll Delvin Cook out. He could catch some balls as well. But it's because they continue to kill teams with the play-action pass. Kirk Cousins is playing the best football of his career. You'd have to go back to the little run that he made in Washington the year they went to the playoffs and got beat by the Packers. That was the best stretch of football that Kirk Cousins was playing. He's surpassed that right now. Kirk Cousins, statistically, is having a better season than Aaron Rodgers. 414-799-1250. How are the Packers going to do this Sunday? I'll give my prediction next. Also, we're going to preview this game coming up from the Giants' point of view as well. It's Chuck and Winkler here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Chuck and Winkler, happy Friday, everybody. Happy Black Friday. Hopefully you're not out there Black Friday shopping, unless you want to be. I don't know why you would, though. Seems like a disaster. Thank God for Amazon. I've already got all my Christmas shopping done. We haven't even hit December yet. The only person I have left to shop for is my six-year-old. We just bought him a Nintendo Switch. Thing's a lifesaver. You can take it with you. Brings it everywhere. Go out to dinner. You could actually enjoy dinner. Just hand them that thing. 414-799-1250. How will the Packers do this Sunday when they take on the 2-9 New York Football Giants? Yesterday was Thanksgiving, a holiday for most. Not for myself, not for Evan Heffelfinger. We take no days off. Another guy that takes no days off, Matt LaFleur. A guy that did take a day off, Jimmy Graham. He has a calf injury, did not practice. How does that work out for the other tight ends? Maybe we'll see a little bit of Jay Sternberger this weekend. Matt LaFleur did not take the day off yesterday. Instead, he held his weekly press conference, talked a little bit about what we'll see at the tight end position. That right there, Packers head coach Matt LaFleur did his weekly Thursday, I don't even know what day it is anymore, press conference, even on Thanksgiving. Matt LaFleur remains one of the harder worker coaches in the entire NFL, talking about what needs to be fixed as the Packers take on the 2-9 New York Giants. Coming up this Sunday on the road, that is. 414-799-1250. How are the Packers going to do this Sunday? Questions, concerns, 414-799-1250. You could also tweet in at the show at 105.7FM, The Fan. We're going to take a look from the Giants' point of view coming up next after we get the latest from Green Bay with our embedded Green Bay reporter, Mike Clemens.
Now, a green and gold update brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. Visit paysbig.com. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers face the New York Giants Sunday at noon at MetLife Stadium. Green Bay is now 8-3. The first thing the Packers need to do is put that 37-8 blowout loss to the 49ers in their rearview mirror. That's according to wide receiver Davante Adams.
We didn't just lose seven games in a row. So, I mean, we can stop acting like it's the end of the world. Obviously, if we win that game, we put ourselves in a much better position and everybody's happier, but let's stop being dramatic. I mean, it was one game. It was a big game because it was the current game that we had, but at this point, we're just focused on the next opponent. We just want to move on.
The Packers have struggled on special teams. At the start of the year, punter J.K. Scott was flipping the field with 61-yard punts, but in the past month, his average has fallen to under 37 yards per kick. J.K. says he made some adjustments for a windy night at Arrowhead Stadium against the Chiefs and is now concerned he's been overthinking it ever since.
After Kansas City, I don't know, I was kind of like making a little change, you know, for Kansas City, raising the drop a little bit, which was really a bad idea for a windy game. And so that caused a little problem.
And head coach Matt LaFleur says he gave the players some time off for the holiday.
What I love about Thanksgiving is we're all pretty lucky to be in the positions that we're in and got to be grateful for that. So it's a good time to spend with your loved ones and reflect about how lucky we really are.
Best Packers coverage on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.